Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 3-0 Take, where we talk all things Major League Baseball. Here's Kyle Corwin and Nate Reyes. It all starts right now.
Welcome back to the 3-0 Take, presented by SeatGeek. This is episode 419. I'll be your host, Kyle Corwin, and I'm here with my co-host, Nate Reyes. Nate!
Howdy! Ooh. Last episode of the off season,
and I'll be honest with you, it is wild. I really wanted to my plan, even before like a week ago, even before this whole Ohtani thing broke, was to have today be more of just like maybe like a part B or like a follow up to our hot takes and predictions episode, where we just, you know, kind of look ahead maybe to
something innocent.
Something innocent, something that we could maybe spend some time having a couple laughs about, but we can't do that, unfortunately, because
nonsense.
We have one of the top scandals of baseball history unfolding. We're not there yet, but it could, based on
the
developments. A lot has happened since our last episode. Our last episode, we talked about just what
he was
had
freshly
unfolded.
Fired.
What had unfolded while the team was in Korea for the Seoul series.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, man. There's been some updates, some developments. Shohei addressed the media today, this evening, or this afternoon if you're out west. You hit me up on text with maybe a thought related to a conspiracy or two. There's a lot to go through here. Where do you want to start here?
Let's start with his statement as predictable as we could imagine, I think.
Yes and no. Like I felt like going into it, I thought it was going to be even more brief than it was. I thought it was really just going to be unfortunately, I cannot comment on an ongoing investigation. If the investigation is technically started yet, are we at that stage yet?
I think it started. Yeah.
Okay. An ongoing investigation, can't comment. This is unfortunate for my teammates, our fans. I hope that I'm not a distraction moving forward, but I feel like he went into a little bit of detail. So I don't know, a little bit of a surprising statement, if you will.
I'm not buying it, dude. I'm not buying any of this. None of it. There's just no way.
Trying to find the full statement here. There we go. I gotta admit, I was watching it. I finally found it. Okay. Because I know you reached out to me. You're like, hey, are you watching this? I said, I'm looking for it. I can't find it. Because minutes earlier, I had come across a post that said no cameras will be allowed for the statement, which was another thing.
This is all a part of it.
All very strange. What did I tweet out today? Like moments before the media thing, said one, he's reading a statement. Two, he's taking no questions. And three, there's no cameras allowed. This is fine. Sure, we'll go with that. Yeah. But I just assumed when I said no cameras allowed, I didn't know that they meant that these outlets were able to have their equipment in there. They were more so referring to the cell phones of the reporters, so on and so forth. But There were some things as I was watching it, watching the replay or the live stream after the fact, where I kind of rolled my eyes a little bit. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. First of all, my initial thought, when I saw them sat down, Shohei starts talking to the media. The interpreter that they have now replaced.
He sucked.
Ipe or, I don't. What, my brother, what are you writing down, first of all?
Yeah, like just stop. Like listen. What he was writing before Shohei even started talking.
Like, I don't want to like get too nitpicky, but I genuinely wanted to know what he was writing down, because I'm like, your job is literally to take what he's saying. And it's possible that maybe he's like jotting down notes as he's going, as Shohei's talking, because some of his answers are a little long winded and didn't give his guy a chance to step in and maybe, you know, break it up a little bit. So maybe that's what was going on, but it led me to another question in that, this statement was obviously prepared ahead of time. So why didn't they just give a translated version to the interpreter, or really anybody that spoke English for that matter, that could read a piece of paper of the statement translated to English, so that we could avoid the whole lost in translation issue? Because that's partially what this whole thing revolved around.
And honestly, like the translator's English wasn't even very good. Like he kind of struggled. And I was expecting, like, I need you to be fluent in English moving forward. I don't like this guy. I don't like him. I don't know who he is, but I don't like him. I don't trust him.
I don't. Was there anything that stuck out to you? Because I know, like I said, you hit me with.
Well, why was it only on MLB Network? What's that about?
Well, I think I found it from a replay of a live stream from some news outlet. I don't know if it was LA based or if it was some other channel that had flown in for the event. I don't know.
But initially it was only on MLB Network. Live. You could only catch it live on MLB Network. Who owns MLB Network? Interesting. It's interesting there. I'm not buying any of this. I'm not buying any of it. MLB Network afterwards, which, I mean, we'll get into the statement and everything here, but like even afterwards, like it was Matt Bascurian and Dan O'Dowd immediately. And like every person that came on to MLB Network after that with Dan O'Dowd, and then what they did was they played the press conference. Matt Bascurian, Dan O'Dowd had about 5 minutes, and then they just replayed that and then replayed the Matt Bascurian thing again. And then it went into MLB Tonight or something. And then we had Mike Lowell and Dan Plesac. Every person, Dan Plesac, Mike Lowell, Dan O'Dowd, I think we could just tell how much raw emotion was coming out of Ohtani. You could just tell that was, what emotion? I saw no emotion. I couldn't tell any emotion whatsoever. Sorry, this guy's been a robot for 7 years that we've known him, but like, it looks the same to me. And even then, there's no emotion coming out of the interpreter. I'm like, it's just like this weird, like, let's make it exclusive to us so we can control what this is. There's no doubt in my mind that MLB is a part of keeping this quick, tight-knit. And to me, it sounds like we're trying to sweep it under the rug as quickly as possible.
As quickly and as efficiently as possible. I forgot to mention, speaking about MLB media. I saw that Ken Rosenthal on Foul Territory a handful of days ago was quoted as saying, quote, "Not a chance Otani speaks publicly during the investigation." And I believe it was the next day that the post was tweeted out. Shohei Ohtani will address the media on Monday per multiple reports. So I'm glad we're back to reporters not having a clue as to what they're freaking talking about, because I missed it, to be quite honest with you.
But looking
through the transcript again, like I said, I think it was a little longer than I was anticipating. I thought this was going to be very brief. And I mean, I guess for some press cut, for depending upon how you view press conferences, it maybe was brief to you, but I thought it was going to be much shorter. But he went into it a little bit, you know, the very, very cordial at the beginning, as you would expect. He says, obviously, there's things I'm limited in being able to talk about. I like how he's very literal. He says, I do have a document in front of me that I will refer to, that will detail what has happened. And then he just goes right into it. He says, so I never bet on baseball or any other sports, or never have asked somebody to do that on my behalf. And I have never went through a bookmaker to bet on sports. Up until a couple of days ago, I didn't know that this was happening. Just to kind of go over the result, in conclusion, Ipe has been stealing money from my account and has told lies. So here's the deal. Personally, based on how I feel about Shohei, I would be shocked to find out that Shohei was the one responsible for the betting.
Well, that's something on we'll the flip never side. Out.
On the flip side, I would be shocked to find out that he genuinely didn't know. There is no way.
There's no way.
You can't be that oblivious.
No, we went over this last week. He had checks written in 2021 with his name on it. Wire transfers with his name on it in 2021. Two of them for $500,000. So let me get this straight. You and Ipe are the only ones looking over your accounts. You don't have any financial managers, financial advisors, no one throwing up a red flag saying, hey, where'd this Millie go? No one 3 years ago mentioned anything. Why is it just now fraud? Why is it just now theft? Shouldn't have been theft back then? Why does Ipe have access to your stuff? Didn't answer that.
Translator.
I don't care how close you are as friends. You're not going to know my PIN. You're not going to be moving money around for me.
Shout out to our good buddy, Ryan Ripken. I was listening to his. They went live today. Talk about the presser. And he made a good point. He looked around the room to the guys that he does his show with. And he's like, I think all of you are good kids. I love each and every one of you, but I'm not giving you my banking info. And I said, no. That's for me, that's where it starts and stops. Like, I don't care that this guy lives with you. I don't care that you guys have been best friends since however long. The guy clearly is not straightforward, because then you bring into account all these other things that have developed in the last 24, 48, 72 hours. Find out that he didn't go to, what was it, UC Riverside. The university came out and said, yeah, there's no documentation that shows that he ever attended this place.
Apparently, he
was on record, or I don't know if on record is the right way to put it, but it was presented as fact that he was an interpreter for Hideki Okajima for the Red Sox at one point.
Also for the Yankees.
That
didn't happen.
So what are we, first of all, why is this information just coming out now? Two, is he that conniving to mislead Shohei that well for that long? I have a hard time believing that there was no point in time, which brings me back to my point, that there's no way that Shohei didn't know that anything was going on. Which then makes you think that this is just an attempt to orchestrate some degree, to which degree, I don't know, but some degree of a cover-up. Some attempt to save face, because there's no way that Ippei was acting alone. There's no way that Ohtani found out in Korea.
Yeah, I agree. Either Ohtani was placing these bets himself, Ippei was placing them for him, or he paid off Ippei's debt, just like Ippei initially said. All three, he knew for sure. Whatever route you want to go, Ohtani knew about this. And it's not like this press conference was under oath. But I'm not buying it, dude. I don't buy it. So I think there's probably going to be more details that come out to just try and overwhelm the evidence that Ippei is some kind of con artist. You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be more stuff that comes out that just says this is who, like, someone from Japan's going to be like, he also owes me $3 million. There's going to be some random bookkeeper, you know, like a different state, that's like, he owes me 1.5. Like, that's what this is going to be. It's going to be, let's just make it so over the top obvious that Ippei did this, that we're not even going to have to look in Ohtani's direction anymore. That's why they gave him a wife. That ain't his wife. I'm not buying that either, dude. I told you before. I called that before all this stuff came out.
I'll give it to you. You did.
Who doesn't announce an engagement? Who doesn't post something like anywhere? Anywhere? You're doing GQ shoots. You're doing New Balance shoots. No one, like, you're not going anywhere with this girlfriend of yours, with this fiance of yours. You're just suddenly married. It's let's make Shohei a stand-up guy, and let's make Ippei super evil. And I'm sure Ippei knows about this. I'm sure he signed up for this. I'm sure he's like, hey, Shohei, as long as you take care of my family, I'll take this for you. I'll take this bullet. I'll get buried. It's only going to get worse on his side.
Going back to your point about these bookies are going to start popping up, these individuals tied to gambling in some way, shape, or form are going to start popping up, some connection to Shohei, some connection to Ippei, or more so connection to Ippei. I think you're right. I think there more of these things are going to start popping up. And I bet you if there was an individual, say, in Kansas, a bookie that pops up in Kansas, I guarantee if you checked his phone, there'd probably be a text sitting in his inbox from Rob Manfred saying, hey, thanks, buddy. Thanks for doing us a solid. Because you cannot tell me that Major League Baseball is doing everything in its power to put blinders on this whole situation.
Yep.
And to hustle it down the hall, get it out the door before anything could even come close to touching Shohei Ohtani.
Yep. Yep. The first interview that we caught after the Matty V and Dan O'Dowd stuff was a segment, I think it was like the Dodgers radio guy. And he was standing in front of the dugout on the field talking about, again, the same thing. Each one of these guys talked about how emotional Ohtani sounded. Each one of them. They said the same thing. This reporter, this radio guy standing in front of the dugout is like, I've got team captain Austin Barnes in front of me. I've got Freddie Freeman in here, America's first baseman. They're just excited to play ball. I'm like, dude, all of you have been told. All of you have been told. That's why it was exclusive to MLB. Let's keep it on MLB Network. Like, all of this is to control, dude. I'm not buying any of this. I'm not buying any of it. I bet we're going to come out with something random. Like, someone's going to create, like, some Ipe's not really Ipe. It's his name's something totally different. I do wonder where the heck this guy came from, though. If he didn't go to UC Riverside and didn't work for any of these teams, like, how did... But, like, why was he boys with Shohei in Japan? And then how could he just forge the fact that he said he had a job with the Yankees and the Red Sox before? You came over with Shohei, didn't he?
That's what I thought. Imagine.
Yeah.
That's my best guess.
A lot of weird stuff, dude.
What I don't understand is if the FBI is involved, as we've heard, or planning to get involved at some point along the line, we've had authorities look into cold cases that are 50, 60, 70 years old, and we're coming up with details,
yeah,
that were in the dust for however many years. How is it that why can't we just do a quick Google search?
Yeah.
And figure out where this guy was, where he came from, his background, the people that he hangs out with. Like, this isn't the 1940s. How do we not know more about this guy? And why all of a sudden are these revelations being made about him not being there, him not having that role?
What's weird is that I never even heard about him being a translator or interpreter any other team until now. I never knew that. It's just random. It's just weird stuff, yeah, man. I don't believe this stuff. I don't believe it. The story changed too many times.
It's changed too many times. Thinking about going back to the presser, the part that raised some eyebrows for me, at least, was when he was talking about the team meeting where Ipe addressed the Dodgers. This is what
is a cop out.
For all intents and purposes, a presser for a presser's sake, it was going along pretty well. Like, he was saying the right things. He was addressing the right things that he needed to. But then he got to this point, and I was like, Shohei, come on, guy. You got to whoever on your legal team wanted to include this, they maybe should have thought otherwise, because this didn't make any sense. He said, so Ipe has been telling everybody around that Ipe has been communicating with Shohei on all this account, to my representatives, to the team, and that hasn't been true. The first time I knew about this gambling, Ipe's gambling, was after the first game in Korea when he had the team meeting in the clubhouse. This is where it gets interesting. He says, so during the team meeting, obviously Ipe was speaking in English and I didn't have a translator on my side. But even with that, I kind of understood what was going on and started to feel that there was something amiss. What does that even mean, Shohei? Come on, man. Like, whether or not that's true, you got to find a different way to present that. That you can poke holes in that all day. That makes no sense. So so then tell me this. On the occasion that Ipe's not around, because Ipe is around 24/7, it sounds like, handling Shohei's finances, apparently.
Yeah.
I'm sure he cooks for him. Who knows? On the occasion that he's not around, how are you making out?
Right.
Without Ipe?
Yeah.
I think this guy knows a little bit more English than he lets on to.
I agree. You've been here 7 years? Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say he knows more English than he lets on. But I will admit, there is some sort of like, there's like a boyish charm though to Shohei. Like, remove.
Yeah, pretend- did you see him like sit down and first like touch the mic and like smile? I'm like,
yeah.
What
yeah.
are you doing?
So pretend this gambling thing didn't happen. Just think of Shohei as Shohei. You gotta admit, there's like a boyish charm there with the sure. just the grins, the picking up of the trash, which we talked about last week, which I thought was just it's a funny layer to all of this. It's the guy that has a montage on YouTube for picking up trash at ballparks. Like, I just really have a hard time wrapping my head around the fact that this guy was gambling millions and millions of dollars away. but with that, with the boyish charm element, it kind of makes sense. You know, like he's going around. There's like a blissful ignorance, if you will.
You think he's kind of a dope?
No, not like a dope, but like it's very much like a, hey, I kind of have like if he was speaking to us in English, he'd probably like, yeah, I'm like, I kind of have an idea and I can kind of put the pieces together, but I don't really know. So I just kind of go along with it. That's kind of how I envision Shohei, like what his response to that would be. But something like this, that kind of goes out the window for me. Like if you know that your translator is addressing the team, like I want to make sure I understand what's going on.
Yeah, you're like, not just back in the corner, just being like, letting him finish. Then he comes back and you're like, hey, what was that all about?
Yeah. Yeah, like,
you shouldn't be speaking to anybody unless it's through me. Like, I don't understand what Ipe is, dude. He's something else. Like, if there was something of like, if he was like, Ipe has not just been, if he would have came out today, just been like, Ipe is not just my interpreter. Ipe's also been like a quasi manager for me in certain ways. You know what I mean? Like my liaison, and he's been able to, you know, get things done for me and handle negotiations or handle conversations. I've give him the freedom to do that stuff. Like that would have got me more bought in. I would have been like, okay, right now you're just boys and he's an interpreter. So it doesn't check those boxes as to why he has access to your stuff. It doesn't check those boxes as to why his resume isn't up to date. Like what, or even accurate, or even what is that? How do you not vet this guy? Like, how do you not have financial advisors looking into your account? Like, I think the truest story we'll ever get was the story of Ipe going to ESPN and what he told everybody. Maybe Shohei is not a gambler. Maybe he doesn't really care about other sports. And I've seen all over Twitter, they're like, oh, really? And he's rocking like a Lamar Jackson jersey walking in pregame. His wife played basketball over there and is like kind of a big star over there. Like, I would go ahead and presume you probably watch other sports.
Can I speak
to
that?
To the point of not gambling, I get. That's fine.
I feel like that's exactly and you could probably speak to that based on the little or however much I talked to you about like football or basketball or lack thereof.
Like you could take it or leave it.
I keep up. Like I'm aware of what's going on in the NFL. I'm aware of the headlines coming out of the NBA, like March Madness. I'm obviously into this time of year. So like, I feel like it's hard for him. Like if he truly does not gamble on other sports, or like he wasn't responsible for the bets that went out to the international soccer and so on and so forth. If he's truly not responsible for that, I feel like it is hard to navigate the waters of saying, I don't care or keep up with any other sport, but also having to address, hey, well, Shohei, why were you at the Rams game when you got sent to the Dodgers? Like what about your wife who is a star basketball player in Japan?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm kind of there because I'm like, I'm aware of what of the sports that are going on around me, but for me, it's just baseball. Like I'll watch football occasionally. I'll watch some college basketball from time to time, but like it's baseball. So
yeah,
I wasn't gonna pin him for that.
I'm not going to either. And I'm, you know, to give him the benefit of the doubt, like I said, I think the truest story was the fact that he probably knew Ipe was a gambler. He's probably known for years. And
well, I was going to add that. I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to ask you, going back to this boyish charm thing, do you think, honestly, because I know you have your thoughts about Shohei as it stands right now, but do you honestly think that there was any shot that he, honest to God, had no idea the legality of what or what wasn't happening?
That's what I think it is. That's exactly what I think it is. I think he knew that Ipe was gambling. I think he, for years, I think he knew that Ipe was gambling. I think he knew that Ipe went in debt. I think he said, Ipe, I don't trust you with this money. I'm going to pay your debt directly. And then when Ipe came out, and this is all coming out in this, you know, investigation happening in California, catches Ipe, notices Shohei's name. I would like to say that he probably went directly to Ipe and just said, hey, like, are you willing to take the fall for being a gambler? And like, just saying like, hey, I was helping a friend out. And Ipe's like, cool. Goes to ESPN, tells this 90-minute story interview. And then Ohtani's attorneys find out and they're like, hey, whoa, that's illegal, dude. Like, your name is on that check. Like, that's just as bad as betting yourself. So you can't do that. So we need to call Ipe a liar now because he's already obviously talked to a reporter. That's what I think happened. And Ipe's, again, probably there's going to be stacks. I bet we're going to have more details trickle out about Ipe and the fraud and the con and the, you know, mischievous background, whatever it may be, to the point where it's like all fingers obviously point his direction and it's going to let Ohtani out of the hook. Did you see Pete Rose today?
Yeah. He said, if I had a translator, I would have gotten away scot-free. Dude,
relax.
Any opportunity that guy gets, man, he's jumping at it. So good.
Also,
good for Pete.
For me, there's record of bets. Bookkeepers keep records of bets. You have to. You're setting your own odds. That guy can tell us exactly what these bets have been placed on, and we can figure out what sports they are. And not to go down, I don't think I'm going to go as far as this one account that I saw on Twitter where it was like the massive bets that were placed on days that Shohei pitched. And it was like over-unders on totals with their competitor and he's pitching and like he gives up 5 runs or 6 runs or whatever. I'm not going to go that far. I am curious to see if there's been some giant anonymous donation to UC Riverside, though. Just a big old check.
Manfred. That would never see the light of day. That's getting dropped off in a duffel bag in cash under the darkness of night, and that's going to be used for academic building construction. Yeah. You're never going to see that cash.
Yeah.
If that were the
just
case.
Curious to see what new library is going to pop up at UC Riverside to wash away Ipe's records of being a student there.
The Shohei Ohtani.
I've seen suits.
Billion.
They put Mike Ross into Harvard. So just saying.
Look, here's here's kind of my, and look, my opinion is going to evolve as more information comes out. It's going to evolve, but I think for myself, as it stands right now, I'm going to choose to believe it's a little muddy, but that Shohei is genuinely a good dude. In the eyes of the law, the wrong decision, or maybe a couple wrong decisions, but I think it was more so unwise decisions. He made decisions without the opinion or clarification from counsel, whether it be legal or otherwise, in that he was just genuinely trying to help out a friend.
I think that's what it is too.
And if I had to bet, I would say that maybe if they are as close of buddies as has been made out to be, that maybe they just got together, they went out for drinks one night and were like, look, we have a situation on our hands. As you and I have come to learn more and more about like how hot a water we're in here. So let's do what we can to keep this under wraps. And then my guess is that people in Shohei's camp, again, legal or otherwise, they caught wind of this finally after they attempted to keep it under wraps, and they go, Shohei, you gotta get out of this now.
Yeah. Let's get you a wife. And then and we'll get ahead of it. I don't know, man.
So honestly, when you look at the whole MLB cover up element of it, I personally think it's less of an attempt to cover up Shohei being some sort of degenerate gambler.
And yeah, I don't think it is.
And more of a cover up to just keep his image clean. Even like I said, I think that he just made some unwise decisions. He maybe didn't understand the ramifications or the consequences of the decisions he was making to help out a friend, not knowing that
probably tried to do it on his own. Yeah.
Right. Paying off a bookie is illegal, like this, and related decisions to that.
And probably just lied to the financial advisor, said, hey, I need a million broken up into two payments. It's for me. Pays it for you, pay himself. Yeah.
And I bet, right. And I'm sure the people, if that's how it went down, my guess is that the people in MLB's front offices are going, I mean, to us and to reasonable thinking people, this really is like,
we no need to have a guy's career ruined in a league. Yeah. Literally, I'm not going to say shattered, but it would be rough.
It would be quite the black mark.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're probably sitting there going, like, again, if that's how it happened, they're probably going, this is, like, for all intents and purposes, not the worst thing that's come across our desk. But as with so many of these other things, like the Trevor Bauer thing that I feel like I made the same exact point on, you have idiot baseball fans out there. You have people that just choose to be inflammatory on social media because they want to get the clicks. They want to get the engagement. You have tabloids and just outlets who don't have the best intentions for Shohei or the game, and they're just going to run with it. So they're going, we have to keep this as airtight as possible. We have to keep his image as clean as possible. So yeah, there probably is a degree of cover up for Major League Baseball. Yep. And I think that's pretty transparent, and it makes sense whether you agree with it or not. That's one thing, but it makes sense if you're the league and you're trying to keep Shohei's image clean.
Also, how nice would it be to think, like, for everyone around you, for them to think that you don't understand them? To have that cloak of built-in privacy. You've been here 7 years. There's stories of Ichiro having full-on conversations with people back in his playing days. Never once spoke English in a presser, in an interview. I think he knows English.
Enough. I have a hard time believing that for the duration of time that Shohei was with the Angels, and knowing that the microscope that him and Trout were under for needing to get that team to the postseason, forget the World Series, just get them to the postseason.
Yeah.
I would venture to say those guys, they went through it together. Like I know we knock on the Angels, we knock on Trout, we knock on Shohei for their inability to get it done, if you will. But I would think that over that stretch of time that they probably went out for a few dinners and said, look, we need to let's get down to the nitty gritty here. Like, we need to figure out a plan for this team to lead this team in the direction that it needs to go. I don't see Ipe. I'm sure he was there, but I just don't see Ipe being there translating that conversation verbatim. I just don't see that. I see Shohei and Trout going out, having a conversation, say, hey man, like, what do you think? Like, here's what I think I can provide. Mike's going, here's what I think I can provide. They spitball. That had to have happened. And forget team planning, just day-to-day conversation. Like, those
all
two,
these guys go out on road trips and they go out to dinner together. You're telling me Shohei only eats with Ipe?
Exactly. The faces of baseball. I think he knows more than he lets on to.
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of wrapping it up here, at least for this particular topic, where do you stand on Shohei? Because I think following the Seoul series, if I recall, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think you were of the belief that Shohei was the one that was responsible for these bets. In that, not that he paid them, but that he was the one with the motive to gamble, and consequently
still
put the bets
down. I kind of still feel that way. I still feel like it's slightly there because there is still the unchecked box of the fact of no one of Ipe's salary is getting that line of credit. No one's getting that line of credit. No one's letting millions of dollars roll over. So, I don't know. You give me a gift card to go buy something at the store, yeah, I'm buying it. You gave me the gift card, I don't know, man. Like, there's just gray area here. And to just say, blame it on the lost in translation nonsense. I don't know. Maybe Ipe was placing bets for him. I still think it's a possibility. I am less on that train. I am more in the camp of, I do think Ohtani knew about Ipe. I think he knew about the debts. I think he's paid them himself. I think he's made those payments for sure.
I think that's where I've settled for now.
He just probably didn't realize that it was legal or illegal.
I think that's where I've settled. I know that a lot of it is because of the league. Like, there's that, like, I'm looking at it through that lens, through the rose colored glasses that Major League Baseball has handed us as baseball fans to say, hey, look how great this guy is.
Mm-hmm.
I have enough sense to be able to take those off and look at Shohei for who he is and how he handles himself and how he presents himself.
He's always been that guy.
I just have a really hard time believing that he would be some sort of mastermind to a plan like this.
Yeah.
I genuinely think he just got caught up in some,
he did something illegal he didn't know was illegal. And in reality, he was doing it in probably a selfless way of helping his friend.
And didn't have the counsel around him to guide him out of the situation before it got to be too much.
Or he's like, I'm not continuing on with this journey without my boy. So I'm ignoring counsel and I'm paying this anyway.
Also a possibility. I don't know, but that's basically what we got for now. Again, I didn't think we'd be spending basically an episode and a half on Shohei gambling scandal, but here we are. Obviously, it's what the entire baseball world's talking about, and for good reason. Like, it's a big deal, and we can sit here and make jokes about how certain fans are rooting for his downfall and everything, but like this. Yeah. There's a lot at stake here for baseball in general, and talking about a precedent being laid. And
if you're rooting for his downfall, you're not a baseball fan. You're a reality TV fan,
or you're just a Padre or Giants fan. Yeah. I don't know. Which just I don't know. Feels
don't even. I'm not even. Please don't tell me that baseball has not grown and gotten better since he's got here. You're wrong. He's the best thing that's happened to baseball in a long time. So do I understand the cover up? Yeah. Am I going to sit here and say there isn't a cover up? No. So whoever's going to UC Riverside, let me know if there's a new library that pops up next year. Giant anonymous donation.
I need that security footage of that duffel bag of cash being dropped outside the dining hall at 2:30 a.m.
Yes.
I'm going to need that. Let's talk about some other baseball things here, shall we? Let's switch gears. We can run through some of these items, because I really just wanted to wrap up talking a little bit about opening day, opening week, and the excitement that surrounds that. So let's start here at the top. Rockies extend their shortstop to Ezekiel Tovar.
Yeah.
To a 7-year extension worth $63.5 million, could be a total of 84 if the option is exercised, according to L Extra Base. Which, gotta love that name, by the way.
I feel like this is quick. This was a quick trigger. Not as quick as was the Brewers that extended a minor leaguer over the offseason. Remember that?
Yeah, the Tigers did as well. The Tigers locked up what is his name? It's right there. Colt Keith.
Mm-hmm.
Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah. This isn't as early as that. I don't know, man. He's literally 162 games in. Played 153 last year, 9 games in 2022. Okay.
I mean,
76 OP plus guy.
To his credit, Rockies, albeit a young franchise, they've had some dudes come through there, and he's putting his name up there with the best of them as a rookie. Todd Helton's rookie record for doubles. He broke Troy Tulowitzki's fielding percentage by a rookie shortstop with a mark of 988, topping Tulo's 987 back in 07. Mm-hmm. He's the youngest player to debut in club history at 21 years and 53 days.
I mean, you're getting ahead of the curve. I don't think it needed to happen this quickly. I think you could have gone one more year.
Or even like half a season.
Yeah.
Like, just maybe just let it breathe a little bit.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, this is how teams like that are going to have to operate. You're going to have to strike gold with somebody and extend them young. Hopefully it's during a window. Hopefully they all hit their prime, fill in the gaps with the vets, make a run. Feel like that's the blueprint.
Yeah, a possible outcome of that blueprint, and it's the case for any team. No team is immune to this. you're going to take a chance on a guy like this, and it's going to be a flop, and it's going to be considered a bad contract. The aim for these teams, however, is minimizing the amount of money that's coming out of their pocket, but maximizing the value or the deal that they can lock up as early as they can without it being just an erratic move. Like there's a recipe there. And I think the Braves have done a fabulous job of this. We talk about that all the time, of getting it early enough, but waiting long enough and offering the amount of money that's going to help the team out the most. We've been on record as saying before that we think there's a little element of highway robbery going on from the player's point of view. But from a team point of view, the Braves are doing a fantastic job of that. So I think you're right. I think this is the blueprint that's continued to be laid out and tried by these teams, the Brewers, the Tigers, some others. I think the Red Sox are even trying to dabble into that a little bit with, you know, names like Brian Bello. They're talking a little bit with Tristan Casas.
This is a new thing. And I think this is probably why we've seen a weird market with free agency. I think teams are recognizing that, like, you could probably piece that together with what you already have in house, and you can probably commit. I'd rather the commitment to a younger player is going to just become more and more popular. I'd rather pay you early and take a risk, but not that big of a risk, instead of signing someone that's 31, 32, multi-year deal, and paying them for what they've done with a different organization. This is going to be the new thing.
Personally, I love it. I mean, I've said on here before, I like guys being around. Like, I just hate young, old, in the middle, in their prime. I like guys being able to be around for the long haul, guys that fans can latch on to. That's why with, like, the college basketball model, I love a team like UNC, where you just know that majority of their guys are going to be around. Compare that to the likes of Duke. Not the same situation. But bringing it back to baseball, it's a pretty, I don't want to say risk-free blueprint, but if you're able to get them early enough for an amount of money that's so inconsequential and will prove to be even more inconsequential as time goes on and the average contract goes up, that money that you're spending now, AAV, it's going to be different. So even up front, you're going, it's not that much money. But even what I'm saying is, down the road, you're going to look at that and go, we missed, but
it was only for 60.
We're not spending nine digits on the guy. So it's a pretty, I don't want to say foolproof, but I think it's a good approach. And I just hope it doesn't get abused, which I say that I know it will.
This seems a little close.
Borderline. Yeah. But teams but maybe do it right.
It is the projection of seeing, like, you know, like, okay, how do we get Ronald Acuna to commit before he breaks into the scene as Ronald Acuna? You know what I mean? And that comes down to scouting, which I love. It comes down to front office really knowing their development and their group. And I like that. I think that this is how teams, small market, if you will have to manage going forward.
Which I did see a lot of people going, why would you want to commit to the Rockies for that long? I think this is just, I don't know the guy from Adam, but I would venture to say this is just an instance of a young kid going, wow, that's life-changing money. The team that I'm with is expressing faith in me. I'm going to take it. And probably didn't think about it much more than that.
Also, he's... how old?
21? last year was 21, and I mentioned his debut was 21 in 53 days.
Yeah. That's why. Because you're hitting the market again at 29. Big whoop. Good for him.
Good for
him. Hope the Rockies are right. Get used to seeing this more often.
Speaking of seeing things more often, deja vu, I feel like. We got the announcement, ironically, that the Dodgers and Cubs are going to be opening up the 2025 season in Japan. So not quite Korea, but essentially the same thing in terms of time zones.
Yeah.
Better get ready to wake up at 3 a.m. again.
I will not. Cubs-Dodgers?
Cubs-Dodgers.
Next
but
year.
It wasn't even the announcement. It was the announcement of the announcement, if that makes sense. It was reported by Bob Nightingale that the Cubs and Dodgers were, quote, privately informed that they were selected to open the 2025 season in Tokyo.
Cover up.
Yeah, why?
Let's give the Japanese market something to talk about other than Shohei. Let's give them something else to play with. Let's give them another toy. Let's give them another distraction. Let's give you something to work towards.
I don't know how I don't know how long that dog will be able to feed on that bone.
This is a stopgap until you find something else about Ipe.
Ipe's really
Australian, and he broke out of prison 10 years ago. That's what we're going to find something out that's just nuts. Ipe killed his whole family, changed his name, put on that wig that he calls hair, and started to become an interpreter. That hair's tough, dude. It's a tough haircut.
You and I are struggling with our own hair issues. So
this cover up. Yeah. It's so right in front of us. MLB just doing whatever they can.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of other people can acknowledge that, yes, there is some cover-up happening. It's just a matter of which side you believe is doing the covering up and who it's covering up. I think the cover-up aspect of it, though, is about as transparent as it could be.
Yeah.
That's with any of this stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't want to rehash that.
Is it the same? I'm assuming the same dates. Go there. Come back for a week.
The report that I read said that, I got it right here. It says Nightingale added that since the Cubs have spring training in Arizona, they would return to Arizona after their opening series against the Dodgers and, quote, open their domestic season on the West Coast before heading home to Chicago. So based on that, it sounds like they go right into their. Yeah.
Smart.
That's what I'm gathering.
Smarter than this, if that is true. It is from Nightingale. Enough said.
We'll leave it at that. Just a couple more items here.
It makes so much sense.
It's all there.
We have America controlled. How do we control Japan? Let's give them the opening series of next year. I got to give Robbie Manfred some credit.
The dude gave us his ETA on when he's out of here, and then this falls in his lap, and he's like, I didn't want to deal with this.
This is nuts, man.
It's crazy. I don't want to talk about it anymore, though.
Me neither.
I want to talk about another conspiracy. Trevor Bauer. He threw three scoreless. Right? Three scoreless, sure, allowed four hits, three Ks, and two walks against the Yankees. The big bad Bronx Bombers, who featured, yeah, probably like 98% minor leaguers. No, I don't know. I didn't watch the outing.
I think it was Stanton, Volpe.
Oh, so they had some dudes in there.
It was Waldo Cabrera, maybe? That's about it. Everything else way down. I was more excited to see Cano go. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, what was that about, man? I didn't realize the guy was still playing. I thought he was in the...
I think this is the new thing. I think you sign like a week contract or 3-day contract with these teams knowing that an MLB team is going to be playing against you. You know what I mean? There's little stuff like that. I think this is going to be a thing moving forward too.
But wasn't he in that United League or whatever over in...
This might be the off season.
Oh, true. Yeah.
What do they call that?
It's the United League.
Is it United?
Or like United Baseball or something. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know. Whatever. Bauer's Bauer, man.
Baseball United. Sorry. That's what it is.
I'm over talking about him too.
Let's talk Jackson Holliday. It was announced by the Baltimore Orioles. Dude, I feel like with Ryan Ripken and company that I follow on social, I feel like I know more about the Orioles. I've gotten more content about the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah.
Even just this offseason than I think I have in my entire life.
Yeah, that's fair. Probably about right. As have I.
So, related to that, it was announced that Jackson Holliday would be starting the 2024 season in AAA, much to the displeasure of Orioles fans, and I think a lot of baseball fans too. I don't really know how to feel about it. Like, I think the easy, I don't want to say lazy answers, like, oh, what's going on, man? He should be starting and he should be at Camden Yards for opening day. I don't know if it's that easy. Like, yeah, he tore it up this spring, but I think if you're Mike Elias, and he commented on it saying that basically, like, let's chill. He's played like just over a dozen games.
Yeah.
At AAA. Let's not rush to things here.
Yeah. Let him cook a little longer, man. Let him grow a beard.
Yeah, and I think I was it that he struggled against, was it lefties? I'm guessing it was lefties. He had 15 strikeouts. I don't know what the breakdown of that was.
I think they did say lefties, somebody on Ryan's show said that like six of those strikeouts were in his first seven at bats or something like that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It wasn't a lot of early struggle, but I don't know, man. Why rush it? I don't think there's any need. The Orioles are in prime position. They're in great shape. Plenty to work with. No need to rush anything. Let him cook. Let him get comfortable. Because the alternate is you bring him up too early and then you rock his confidence because he struggles. You know what I mean? And then send him back down. Like, I think we fall in love. There's an anxiety of like this season starting, but we're so in love with making the MLB roster out of camp. We're so in love with the opening day starter. We're so in love with these things. We're like, we quickly forget and are quickly reminded that it's a marathon and not a sprint. And I think that's the difference between like overreactionary fans versus, you know, people in the league or around the league that understand that's like, dude, just, it's fine. It's March. The kid's 12. Like, give him a freaking chance. Just let him settle in for a sec. he'll be fine. In the meantime, we're going to go bang and probably win some ball games without him. So what's the big deal? There's no need to rush it.
Well, that brings us to our last topic of discussion. I just wanted to, preview the start of the season here a little bit. I wanted to get your take specifically. I know last episode where I mentioned to you, and I know you have seen the tweet where I just put out a list of I titled it "Players that I believe in 2024."
Yeah.
I wanted to get your take on some guys that you're predicting, because I know for the predictions or the hot takes and predictions episode, we tapped into some awards and things like that. But I wanted to get your take on maybe some guys that maybe you don't necessarily think are going to bring home any hardware or light the league on fire, but just guys that, you're excited about. As we approach opening day.
Old,
just
prime, doesn't matter.
Anybody.
Yeah.
Guys you may think might have a resurgence.
Yeah.
Some young guys that you believe in. I can, I'll buy you some time, but also to refresh maybe some people who didn't recall me sharing my list. And just to kind of show you the variety that I feel like I was working with, like I wasn't just going for all-star after all-star, but my list of guys that I'm a believer in, like it literally says, I'm a believer, says Gunnar Henderson, Trevor Story, Ha-Sung Kim, Bryson Stott, Brandon Pfaadt, Gleyber Torres. And like I said, that list can expand.
These are just gut feelings, just firing from the hip.
Just guys that I have a good feeling about in 2024.
Yeah. The first one that comes off the top of my head, I would say, I think Ryan McMahon of the Rockies seems to be in this position where like he could play well in the first half and find himself making an impact somewhere if they don't extend him and if he moves on into a new spot. Because, I mean, he plays multiple positions, a lefty bat. I don't know. There's something there. A little maybe possible resurgence out of Jack Flaherty being in Detroit, like just having like, out of the spotlight, out of the pressure, having a full off season. I do think that there's some weird stuff going on in St. Louis. So like maybe it was just good for him to fresh start, new faces, just get something out of there. Gleyber is definitely on my list. Just going to play for, he wants to be a Yankee for life. And I think he's going to play for an extension. I think he's going to have a good year. I think he's settled into who he is as a hitter. Defender, he's very good at second base. Give me Wilson Contreras coming back a little bit. Shaking off some of the weirdness of last year. Honestly, I don't know. Maybe like a Tyler O'Neill going to Boston and like... having an opportunity to have the monster that you can just pepper all day. He's got a lot of juice, man. And just again, not hardware, but like, kind of coming back onto the scene a little bit. You think of pitcher wise. I'm pretty big on Gavin Stone, being the fifth starter with LA. I think the Dodgers know what they're doing, man. And I don't know if he's going to do as well as Bobby Miller did, say, last year, but I think you're going to see some production there. Luis Gil coming in as the fifth starter with the Yankees, like a full offseason off of TJ. He's got crazy, crazy stuff.
Believed in him so much, he added him in fantasy. I saw that.
I sure did. I sure did. That didn't go unnoticed. Trying to work my way around the league as much as I can.
Some more comprehensive list than I put together.
I'm just firing from the hip for real, dude. No,
that's literally what I did. And like I said, these lists can change throughout the season.
Yeah. Yeah. What do we got? I don't know, maybe Jared Kelnick being in a Braves uniform, being in a super deep lineup.
Rough spring though. But
Teoscar came out and said he didn't see things well in Seattle. He just didn't pick up the ball well there. And maybe something similar for Kelnick.
Yeah.
You know? And being in a lineup of just pure hitters. Maybe there's some resurgence there. And like I think that's probably why the Braves made that move. It's a super high ceiling. Yeah. How am I doing? Am I doing good?
That's fantastic.
Bouncing around a little bit.
You can pause it there if you'd like, or you can keep going if you've got more. There was no expectation for how long this list needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like you reeled off some great names. Like, again, not guys that you're expecting to have MVP caliber seasons necessarily.
Maybe not even all-stars, yeah.
But not even all-stars, but guys that you're just excited about. And I would challenge you, the listener, to compile your own list. Maybe pull up the notes app on your phone and compile a list. And that way you can have some names. We're always promoting, like, yes, follow your team. Like, we believe in that. That's what you should do as a baseball fan as a fan of the team that you follow. But we also always promote, like, tapping in around the league a little bit. And so as we come up on opening day, maybe take the next couple of days to think about some guys, some teams that you want to follow this year as the mm-hmm. season progresses. And I'm telling you, it makes for a more enjoyable baseball viewing experience, because when your team is out of it by May, it's nice to, not that you necessarily got to jump ship, but it's nice to have something to tune into at different times of the year. So,
yeah.
Speaking
of
which,
Pasquantino.
Ooh, that's a great pick. That's a good pick.
I think we forgot how much pop that guy has.
You gave him some love in the hot takes and predictions episode. So I can vouch that you were a believer in him.
That's it.
But looking ahead to opening day, opening weekend, just a refresher for those who maybe don't know what's going on around the league. We've got the Brewers at the Mets. We've got the Angels at the O's. We've got the Braves at the Phillies.
Oh, yeah. Buckle up for that one.
We've got the Nats at the Reds. We've got the Giants at the Padres. Cardinals at the Dodgers. Blue Jays at the Rays. Twins at the Royals. Tigers at the White Sox. Pirates at the Marlins, Yankees in Houston, Cubs in Texas, Guardians in Oakland, Rockies in Arizona, and the Red Sox in Seattle.
Love it.
So that's what we had to look forward to. I'm going to need some fireworks right out of the gate in Philly. I'm going to need that.
Yeah. I was going to say, have we seen Soto in Houston since? I mean, of course we have, but have we seen like on that stage with that many eyes? Like, that could be interesting.
I mean, not since the World Series, right?
Yeah. I'm sure they, I don't know. That could be interesting. But yeah, Philly is going to be, it's in Philly.
Yeah.
Whew.
I'm sure they remember Soto in Houston very well.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you been eyeing any tickets, any games anywhere? Not opening day, but following.
I'd I think I mentioned on here, I did take a peek at Philly just because of the that matchup. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the better matchups in baseball.
Yeah.
And I thought more about it. I don't know if I've been to an opening day.
I don't think I have either. At least
when I was old enough to remember. Yeah. Dad may have taken me as a kid. I honestly can't remember, but.
May have been an Orioles one back in the day.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking if I had been. But
baseball though on a Thursday, got the Jets flying over. All the banner things out.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the bunting. Ooh, yeah. Love that, man. Take the day off from work. I'm about it. But yeah, haven't poked around any tickets yet. Which reminds me,
there you go.
Plug for SeatGeek. Use our promo code 3OTAKE is our social handle. THREEOHTAKE. Get $20 off your first purchase as a first time user on SeatGeek. And you can save some hot dog money.
There you go. Probably one hot dog. Souvenir soda.
Or souvenir soda. Not both. Well, maybe both.
Maybe.
You get a good deal somewhere. I don't know. Some ballparks still operate with reason. Yeah. Not all of them, but some.
I will be, I won't be, obviously, opening day, but I will be catching the Yankees here in Phoenix next week. Week from tomorrow.
That went over really well, didn't it?
With the brand new wife?
Yeah.
No.
Not great.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Not great. What a heck of a stretch, though. I'll be golfing before my wedding, getting married on Saturday, a little mini honeymoon for 2 days, Yankees the day after. Not a bad stretch for the kid.
Not a bad stretch for the kid. Gotta love that. That's coming up, man. That's a life-changing experience coming up for you, my friend. That's exciting.
It's insane, man. It's so crazy. For those of you listening,
send your love, send your support to old Nate Reyes. And I don't know, maybe check out the registry while you're at it. Who knows?
Yeah, there you go.
Truck down the link or maybe hit me up. I can send you the link. Maybe we help the kid out. Huh? How about it? Anything else about opening day, opening week you wanted to touch on before we get out of here?
That's it, man. That's all I got. Obviously, the first time my opening day weekend is jam-packed with wedding stuff. I think the Yankees go 7 straight games without a day off. And I'm like, really?
Wow.
That'd be nice.
Do they not get the...
I don't think they get the
Friday typical, off.
I don't think they do.
Mm. That's tough, man. It's quite a stretch right out of the gate. It's kind of
cool. Yeah. And then, of course, I'm busy. Yeah, they go Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Oof.
Houston and then Arizona. I like that though. I'm an anti Friday off day kind of guy. Don't get me hyped up for opening day and then give me 4 teams to watch. Stop doing that.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it, man. Other than that, please don't judge me for how uneducated I'll be for the next month or so. I'll do my best.
Kid's got a lot going on.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, last thing before we get out of here, what update on what we can expect from old Nate Reyes for the next, or are we maybe getting one more from you, or you think
you're at least out? One, maybe two.
Okay. I won't push you to two, but one would be nice, but yeah. I don't want to get you in any more trouble than you already are for the Yankees game. So
yeah, that, still smoothing that over. Gotta do what you gotta do. Right.
We'll figure it out. we'll figure out a schedule, but, other than that, I think that's all we got.
Yes, that's it. Enjoy opening day, everybody. for my fellow followers, happy Easter. And don't go chasing curveballs.
Love y'all. And as always, looking forward to talking more baseball with you guys soon. Until next time, stay filthy.